in what we started last week, and that was Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 and 15 through 19. And let me go ahead and just review what we talked about last week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. And I just wanted to back up just a little bit and re-emphasize that the Bible is constantly talking about the shadow and the real thing. And so when the people were all talking about the temple and talking about the tabernacle of God, and this is so beautiful, this is so great, and God had to remind them that this is just a shadow, because there is a real tabernacle up in heaven, and there isn't anything that can be made by the hand of man that can begin to compare to the glory and the beauty of that tabernacle that's in heaven. Amen? And so Paul is writing here, and he is saying, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Oh, excuse me, I should have backed up just one more. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All right, now we need to understand, all right, that we can have the mirror image, or we can have the real deal. Amen? Now, it's interesting for those who have served in the military or married to somebody who served in the military that, you know, before you leave your room, your bunk, your wherever you're at, you always have, every room has a full-length mirror. And you have to make sure that there is not a loose thread anywhere on your uniform, that everything is just exactly where it's supposed to be. Amen. And I know that my first row of ribbons goes 1/4 inch above the seam of that pocket. And then however high those ribbons go, 1/2 inch above that go my flight wings, and 1/2 inch above that goes my chaplain's cross. Alright? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, say, you know, I feel like really exemplifying the chaplain's cross. I don't put that out there and just let everybody know there's a place for it, and that's the place of blessing, because if you choose not to do that, then there's going to be somebody who's going to remind you that there's a right and a wrong way, and your little excursion into this experimental thing is not the right way. So anyhow, you look in the mirror, and everything is in its right place. And I love my bride. My bride is my biggest cheerleader. She is. And when we get ready to go somewhere, sometimes I wear a uniform that's called my mess dress. All right? The mess dress is the tuxedo. It's the short dinner jacket and the tuxedo pants and all that good stuff. And I'll look in the mirror and I'll make sure that everything is right. But when I want a reaction, I go find Terry. You know, and what does Terry say? Oh boy, look at that. Don't you look good tonight? All right? I mean, that's the reaction. I can stand in front of the mirror all I want and say, ooh, Dale, you look sharp tonight. That doesn't mean anything. Yeah, that doesn't stroke my ego or anything like that. But when my bride says that, all right, now we're talking, and it's the same way. We can stand in the mirror and see the reflection, or we can experience the real thing. And I want you to see here, He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And remember that what's in heaven is the real deal. What we have out here on earth is just a poor reflection. Amen? You imagine the very best that you can experience of God here on this earth, even the salvation that we are experiencing, it is not going to be anything like what happens when we are standing in the glory of the Father God in heaven, and we are surrounded by the angels of heaven, and we are experiencing that true salvation. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. We've been saved from the power of sin, and now standing in glory, we are saved from the very presence of sin. Amen? And so everything that we have down here is just a poor mirror image. Amen? And so when Paul says that he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen? He has given us everything we need. We already have it. It's simply up to us to claim it and start walking in it. And just as he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. These are all promises of the fullness of what God has for us. And I want you to know that no matter how great the Shekinah glory is that God pours out on your life, it can still only be a sad reflection of what He has prepared for us in glory. Amen? Amen. And that's why, you know, people talking about, you know, our brother Mark has passed on. And, you know, do we think that, somebody said, do you think that he misses us? And I said, he hasn't spent a half a second missing us. Amen? Not that he doesn't love us anymore, but he's in the presence of Jesus. This is what all of us are striving for, to finally cross that finish line and be in the presence of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so that's what he has for us. And then I wanted to continue on to the praise of the glorious grace which he freely bestows on us in the beloved. In the beloved, there's two thoughts on that in scripture. The beloved is Christ. The body of Christ is referred to as the beloved. And as such, also, the church is referred to as the beloved. And so, when he has freely bestowed something on us in the beloved, it is what he has already done for us through Jesus. Now, let me ask you, how much is Jesus lacking of anything? You think he lacks? All right, Terry gave her testimony how our daughter walked in, and there's our granddaughter, and we've been fighting these seizures that she's having. People have to stay with her when she sleeps. Somebody has to be there to make sure that she doesn't have one of these seizures in her sleep and just pass away because she stops breathing and there's no one there to get her breathing again. And so this is something that our daughter's family has had to deal with extensively over the past several years. And so she walks in, and here she is in St. Luke's Hospital. You know, hey, this is St. Luke's is a world-renowned hospital. And what do you have? A doctor and two nurses standing around picking her nose. Oh, what do you think we ought to do? Why? Because she's on a gastrointestinal. She's on a GI floor, not a neurology floor. Alright, they know how to handle these neurological events on a neurology floor. They don't know how to handle them. That's not been part of their training on the GI floor. And so what did our daughter do? Our daughter said, look it, I'm not going to wait for you guys to stand around and decide, because we were told later, well, the protocol is you wait 5 minutes. And if she hasn't finished her seizure in 5 minutes, then we go ahead and call a code. I got news for you. You wait 5 minutes, She ain't coming back. Amen? And their protocol was totally inappropriate for my granddaughter's condition. And our granddaughter's mom, our daughter, recognized that. And she stepped in and said, I don't care what you guys say. I've got her medication in my purse. You may not have it on the floor, but Mama comes prepared. Amen? And she gave that medication to her and got her out of that seizure just that quick. All right? She was prepared. She was gifted ahead of time with what she knew how to do and what to do, how to administer that medication. And what we're learning about today, yet last Sunday and today and probably next Sunday, is what do we do with what God has put in our hands? How do we do this? We've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen? It is there. But we need to know what to do with it. And so today, we're going to, okay, here we go. Verse 17 for today. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe. All right? And so today, as we're getting ready to step out in 2025, I mean, this is the second week, so we better, you know, catch up here. We're already lagging behind. I want us to talk about what we can do, what God expects us to do. Originally today I had prepared to go through the spiritual gifts, but the Holy Spirit has kind of led me over in a different direction, and so we'll put that on the back burner for right now, and I'm going to go back and retell you guys the story about Moses. All right? Moses knew that God had called him to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. But Moses decided to do it in the power of the flesh. So that one day as he's walking around, he sees an Egyptian that is torturing, beating a Hebrew, and Moses, out of anger, takes that Egyptian and murders him and buries his body. And then he finds out that that little crime was not done in secret, but that everybody knew about it. And he said, if everybody knows about it, there's going to be word getting back to the palace about what I have done, and my life is not worth a plugged nickel. So what did Moses do? Continued operating in the flesh. All right, why? Because when you move out of fear, you're moving in the flesh. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the one first thing I want you to see in 2025. Whatever God calls each of us to do, it's not going to be out of fear that something might happen or something might not happen. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Okay? And so Moses was motivated by a spirit of fear. Oh, they're going to kill me. So he leaves the country. And he goes out and here's this highly educated guy, educated in all the best colleges that Egypt had to offer. I mean, if there was anything that the wise men of Egypt knew, Moses was in possession of that. And what's the best job he can get? Watching sheep. All right? Now, as we've talked about before, watching sheep is absolutely the bottom rung on the ladder of success. It doesn't get any less than that. The little kids of the family, they're the ones that go out and watch the sheep. Little Bobby who fell off a ladder and hit his head. You let little Bobby go out. and watch the sheep, because he ain't quite right. So that's the level of expertise that you need to watch the sheep. And here's this highly educated guy going from the Prince of Egypt to watching sheep. And one day as he's out there watching, it's not even his sheep, it's his father-in-law's sheep. All right? I mean, that's the low of the low. I'm not even watching my own sheep. I'm watching somebody else's stupid old sheep. And so as he's out there, he sees a bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. It's not being consumed. And so he said, interesting, with this high education that I have, I recognize that this is not a normal phenomenon. And I think I'll go over and check this out. And he walks over to that burning bush, and a voice comes out of that burning bush and says, take your shoes off of your feet, for the land, the ground on which you have stepped, is holy ground. Amen? And we know that God then took Moses through an initiation phase that showed Moses that Moses isn't going to do anything without God. Moses already tried doing everything in the power of his own flesh, and not only has he failed in leading his people out of captivity, here he is out in the desert watching some dirty old sheep. I mean, more wrong could not have happened to that man. Why? Because he did it in the power of the flesh. And so God tells Moses, what you got in your hand there, Moses? I've got my shepherd's stick. And God says, well, throw that stick down. So Moses throws that stick down. What happened to that stick? Who can tell me? Turned into a snake. All right? And Moses is probably thinking, glad I threw that thing down when I did. Didn't know I was holding on to a snake, you know. All right? That's fine. Snake on the ground, that's where snakes need to be. Oh, Moses, by the way, pick up the snake. All right. I imagine he went around to the safe end and picked it up by the tail or whatever, and as soon as he put his hands on it, it turned back into a stick again. And God says, I'm going to use this stick, Moses. It's the stick that I'm going to use to bring my people out of captivity. And from that point on, Moses never called that stick his stick. That was always, always the rod of the Lord. Amen? And so what I want us to look at today is that we are praying that we're going to He's already given us this glorious grace which he has bestowed on us in the Beloved. And the faith, Paul has already heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ towards all the saints. And because of that, he never stops to give thanks for the Ephesians in his prayers. And now he says in verse 17, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. And all of that is needed as I ask you again today, how has God gifted you? How has God gifted you? Because God does not ask anything of you that you don't already have. Why would he? That's impossible. That's not what our God does. But when he blesses us with something, then with that blessing comes a responsibility. And so what has God blessed us with? Amen? And so I was sitting back earlier today, and one of the things that God has blessed us with is this church. This just isn't any old church. This is a IRS-recognized 501c3 church. Less than half of the churches in the United States have the 501c3 rating. You can be a church and not be recognized by the IRS. In the state of Texas, it's real easy. Find somebody who will sit down and listen to you, and you stand up and preach at them, and you're a church. And if you want to call yourself a pastor, well, then you're a pastor. I'm not going to, you know, say that's the best idea, because there should be a little bit of concern about who is being sent out to be a pastor or be a shepherd in the Church of Jesus Christ. But the fact that we went the extra mile to become a 501c3, what does that mean? Well, that means, for instance, we were looking at a rehab center to start out west of town on I-10. And so a rancher called us, and he said, I've got some land, and I would like to go ahead and give this land to you. It's right on the service road of I-10, west of here. Okay? And I started salivating all over myself, and I'm saying, you know, good deal. Why? Because as a IRS 501c3 organization, people can give us real estate. Okay? A church that isn't a 501c3 church, you can give them property all you want, but you can't claim it on your taxes as to be a 501c3. And so we were able to go to this man and say, here's all of our paperwork. And we did our due diligence, and we had it surveyed and all this good stuff. And we were about a week away of sitting down and transferring the title of the land, and they found oil on his land, and he wasn't too much interested in giving us that land anymore. So anyhow, and I'm just saying, thank God, because since there is oil out there, we don't know what's buried below the surface. And once you buy that land, the owner is responsible for what's under the ground level, all right? And there could be millions of dollars of remediation that needs to be done out there. So thank God that he delivered us from that. Amen? But, hey, as easy as God did that with that property, he can do it with another property. And so God has given us this church. And with this church, we have been given carte blanche by the management company here to do just about anything we want to do. You think of it, we can probably get away with it. And so if we have, guys, ladies and gentlemen, CC's Pizza, we all know CC's Pizza, we pick up from them every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, they were having an experiment, and they were selling chicken waffles. Okay? I don't know if they're any good, but it didn't work out for them. We now have a freezer full of Eggo waffles. And they're the little, you know, toaster waffles. They even gave us a gallon of syrup to go with it. Alright? So, I don't know about that syrup. I'm sure it's just pure high fructose corn syrup or whatever. But that's been given to us. Why? Because we're a church and we have a relationship with CC's, and they said, good, we can give this to you, and we get a little tax right off. But now, church, what are we going to do with these waffles? Okay? Well, we can meet on Sunday mornings early, and we can have a waffle breakfast, just us. All right? And we can go ahead and eat all these waffles and butter and maybe even fry up some sausage, whatever, and we can have waffles, just us. Or, amen, we can, see, what I'm saying is God has said to Pastor, what do you have in your hand? And Pastor is replying, I got a refrigerator or a freezer full of waffles. And no place for anything else. So Sister Terry said, get those waffles out of my freezer. No, she didn't. She's a good sport about all of that. All right? And so you see, this is one of the things I'm talking about. Do we have a breakfast during the week and just do a little something, one-time thing, something special? Because why has God put us here? We are the light shining in the darkness. And the mission field that God has given us by default are these 250 apartments and cottages. We come with our own built-in mission field. All right? And it's all right here within walking distance. We don't have to go far at all. And so here we go. Moses, what have I put in your hand? This rod. Well, then use it. Okay? Dale, what have I put in your hands? A boat full of waffles. Well, then use it. All right? I've given you this church that has been here since 2009. What are you going to do with it? Use it. All right? And so my question for each of you is, what has God put in your life? What has God put in your life? And you might say, there is absolutely nothing there that I can share. And I would have to say, it's kind of hard to get through parenthood without developing some kind of skills that reach out and bless and impact other people's lives. If we look hard enough, there is something there. I was asked this morning at the men's breakfast, how come we don't do the food ministry anymore? And for those of you that aren't aware, we were picking up twice a week from 22 restaurants. And the people would start setting up, waiting for us in the hallway down to the fire doors in building 3. Just so that they could get a better choice. And Laverne was always first. Laverne was always first. God bless her. All right? And this blessed a lot of people. But we don't have the manpower to do it anymore. Because it takes a lot of dedication to do that. It took 4 of us guys that worked for 4.5 hours Monday morning and 4.5 hours Thursday morning going to these 22 restaurants, bringing everything back here by 11 o'clock in the morning so that the ladies could go ahead and work until 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, getting everything repackaged so that the people could be here. What are you? No? Okay. So anyhow, it just, when we lost our heavy lifters, it just isn't possible to do anymore. Does that mean that God may not open that up? You know, God might go ahead and open that up again. He might give us that opportunity in the future. But right now, we don't have it. So what are we going to do? We don't have our great big, I mean, we're talking KFC chicken, Texas Roadhouse steaks, steaks and chicken meat from Chipotle, pizzas from 4 different Pizza Huts or whatever it was. I mean, we had 4 different, what was the coffee shop? Starbucks that gave us tons of pastries. I mean, we really fed a lot of people. But that's not happening right now. We could get back to doing that, you know, if God opens that doors again. But what can we do now? And that's what I want you to think of. I kind of left the idea that we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts last week for this week, but that's not exactly where we're headed. It's what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Is it a talent? Is it, you know, whatever it is, what do you have in your hand that is going to enable us to reach out and be the shining light that this place needs us to be? Amen? And, I mean, I love meeting up here on Sunday mornings. I love the Saturday night practice up here. I mean, we do a lot of fun things, and that's great. But when it comes to winning souls, that's what I'm all about. And that's what we need to be concerned with. How can we reach out to our neighbors? Because folks, like we've said, if I've said it twice, I've said it 1,000 times, the next step out of the grand is either a nursing home or the pearly gates. Now, hopefully the pearly gates. I mean, that's just history. That's what happens. When people leave here, they've either injured themselves in some way and they must go to assisted living, and from there we don't know what happens to them, or, like Mark, he goes on to see Jesus and he's out of here. So, we are their last chance. We're the last bastion of the Church of Jesus Christ to be able to tell our neighbors that God is alive, that God loves, and God forgives. And when our neighbors get a hold of that, it doesn't really matter if they decide to come to this church. If they go ahead and just get back into their church, that's what's important, is for people to be in church. But we need to decide, what can we do for a church? Is there something that we can do, putting on a skit night? Somebody has mentioned Christian karaoke. Okay, how many like to sing karaoke? There's no, not me. Okay. Alright. And I have a killer karaoke setup. Alright. We can sing karaoke. We can go downstairs and we can sponsor a karaoke night. And it doesn't have to be just Christian songs. That's probably what I would sing. But we've got a whole lot of songs that people can sing. And people will come out to these activities and they say, well, these guys aren't any different than we are. They like to do things like I like to do. And just maybe, this is where I need to be. And so, my question to you, in closing, what has God put in your hand? I just went over a few of them right now. I've got a karaoke machine. We've got a church with a 501c3. We have a little food ministry. What else do we have? There's a lot of things that we can do, but it takes the participation of God's people to do it. Yes, Jeanette?
You made Mark very happy.
Uh-huh.
You gave him a venue to sing and play his guitar, and you brought joy.
Yeah. Mark loved to sing.
Yes.
And he would sing when he lived in Tulsa. He was part of the community theater group and things like that, and he would sing and he would act and all that good stuff. And then he came here, and back in the day, there was a time when we did some theater stuff here. We can still do that. Blast from the past. Yeah. We did that once a year for 2 or 3 years. And so there's things that we can do that give people a chance to experience the peace that Jesus brings. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know, there was a time over 53 years ago when I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. And I was about as far from Jesus as you could get. Now, I didn't think so. I had perfect Sunday school attendance awards and all that good stuff, but I didn't have Jesus in my heart, okay? And so I had some paperwork that I needed to drop off with my friend. His name was Val. You've heard us talk about Val in the past. And so I went over to his house and talked to Mrs. Rose, his mama, and he says, well, he's not here. He's working on the haunted house. I said, the haunted house, and it's something that Victorious Christian Life, VCY, and Crusades for Christ would do every year there in Flint, Michigan. And so I said, well, okay, where is it at? She told me the address. And so I went over there to pack, just to drop this paperwork off. And I saw something there. I saw people my age working, sawing with hand saws and hammering and doing all of this stuff, getting this house ready to be a haunted house as a fundraiser for Campus Crusade, CCY. And so I said, this intrigues me. And I got out of my car. And I'm looking for, you know, are these guys sneaking around the corner and, you know, doing a little weed, you know, when the boss isn't looking or whatever. And, no, nobody was smoking weed. Well, are they, you know, maybe hydrating themselves with some good old brewskis or whatever? No, nobody's drinking beer. And they're just working hard, and they have the joy of Jesus in their lives. And I said to myself, I've got to check this out. There is something here that these young people have that I don't have. And I have to check this out. And so little did I know that my buddy Val went to the director and said, here's Dale over here. He's about as far from being a Christian as anyone can be, but he's really interested in what we're doing. Can he participate as a volunteer member? And you had to be a member of VCY to be working on this thing, and be a born-again believer, which I wasn't. And so Dave Justice decided to go ahead and just tweak the rules just a little bit so that I could participate. And I had a riot. I did some things and showed them how to do some things, and we just had the most fun. And this was so successful. We were hoping maybe 100 people would come through this, and you know, and we'd be able to pass out literature about VCY and you know, get donations and stuff. It was from the back cellar. Oh, what a way to enter a haunted house is through the back cellar doors, right? Over to the sidewalk, down to the driveway, down to the street, down to the corner, down to the corner, down to the corner, and back up to the corner. That's how long the line was. Yeah, we had our 100 or so kids, all right? And all that time, I'm just watching these young people. Somebody's got to pop a pill or get a shot or drink some something or other or whatever pretty soon, because, I mean, this is all hard work. And they all just have smiles on their faces. And as a result of that experience of a person, Val, going out of his way, getting the boss to bend the rules just a little bit for me, I got to see what a young person's life that has been surrendered to Jesus could look like. And then I saw this young lady here who was the mad nurse. And I decided, now, of all the people here, that's the one I'm most interested of. And I took her to one date, and she said, if you want to date me, it'll have to be at church. And so I guess she thought I was a vampire or something, that I couldn't go to a church. And so lo and behold, the next Sunday, to her surprise, I showed up in church. And I started just attending the evening services at church, because our church didn't have evening services. And I heard the gospel preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I left that service that Wednesday night. It was either Wednesday night or Sunday night. Driving home in my dad's 1968 Buick LeSabre. How many of you remember those boats? Okay? I mean, that's when Buick made cars. And I'm floating down the road in my dad's Buick LeSabre, and the Spirit of God told me, you know, this is the time you'll not get another chance. pulled off of Pearson Road onto a side street and accepted Jesus as my Savior right there. Amen? Why? Because one person talked to another person to get him to bend the rules so that I could participate in something that they were doing so that I could see the joy that only comes from knowing, not knowing about Jesus Christ, but knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? And that changed my life. That led to my salvation. So that's all we're talking about here. There's just one little thing that we're going to come up with. Or maybe a whole lot of one little things that we come up with. Or we have some sort of an activity. We do something. Maybe it's our Eggo waffle breakfast or whatever it is. And one person comes and sees us out there with a smile on our face. And we're just making, like my song, I'm going to be a flapjack for Jesus. All right? And just making, not flapjacks, but the waffles and just blessing these people for free, and just perhaps the Holy Spirit will touch somebody's heart, and one of our neighbors up and down these hallways is going to say, man, if that's what Christianity really is, I want to experience that. Father God, thank you for your love.